Okay, my name's Helen Walkington. I'm in the School of Social Sciences and Law, and I'm a PL for Learning and Teaching, but I'm essentially a geography lecturer. And so I'm just going to talk about some of the stuff that I've done anyway that somehow manages to neatly fit with the graduate attributes that Richard's talked about and has perhaps potential to be developed in some kind of way as an open educational resource, or some aspects of it do. I'm a kind of interactive teacher, so you're not going to get off lightly and just sit there. As I go through, I'd like you to try and think about whether and how any of the things I talk about could become an open educational resource. Okay, it might not just be an open educational resource as a product, it might be as a process. So I'm going to talk about the things I've developed and see if you can make the link, and then we'll have a little discussion if there's time. Okay? So I've called it Scaffolding Research-Based Learning, which is what I've been doing in various projects in developing journals, e-journals, for students to publish their work in, and also in undergraduate research conferences, where students, again, are publishing. My definition of publishing is really wide and broad. It's about just making something public. So in that level of making something public might be within a module, from one student to the whole cohort of students, right up to the formal publication of a research article and everything in between. Okay. And then thinking about whether it can contribute to OERs. So that's my outline, how I support undergraduate research through two journals. And I've really shot myself in the foot when I decided on the names for these journals. Because they're so similar, everybody gets completely confused. We have two wikis, two websites, and nobody knows what's going on. But just to explain, I started with GeoVersity, which is about the geo, that's the geography, at Brooks University. So it's our university geography journal. And then I thought, well, hang on, that's not enough for me. I want world domination. So GeoVerse is a pilot for a national journal of geography undergraduate research. Okay, so that's the bigger level. And I'll explain some further differences in those. And then URC, an undergraduate research conference, and I'll talk about how I started with departmental conferences and will be going to the first British conference on undergraduate research in April. I want you to think about product or process. Could undergraduate research outputs become OERs? How could the projects engage more staff? Could the process of developing publications be turned into an OER? That might be more difficult. And I have to acknowledge my funding sources. I did get a Brooks Teaching Fellowship. I know that you're going to talk about fellowships and reward and so on later. I also got funding from my subject centre. That's GEES, Geography, Earth and Environmental Sciences. And I got a Reinvention Centre Fellowship. So you may not be aware if you're not from Brooks, but Brooks has the Reinvention Centre. It's a Brooks Warwick Centre for undergraduate research. Okay. I want to thank all my students, my postgraduates, web and wiki developers, some of whom are in the room, and academic members of the editorial board. And GeoVerse is shared by four universities that are represented down here. It's Brooks, Reading, Gloucestershire, and Queen Mary, which is part of the University of London. So the reason I started with all this is that I felt that the undergraduate research experience had some kind of a problem when it came to research for students, because they would do their dissertations and their project work, their final kind of culmination of their research activities, and then they would leave the university. They might get a little bit of feedback, they might get a mark, but they would just leave the university. And that research was not disseminated anyway. Students didn't get the same experience that an academic would get in terms of feedback, ongoing dialogue, the kind of feedback you get if you present your work at a conference or you submit it for publication. So I felt there was a gap in the research cycle. These images are just some of our students engaging in fieldwork and data collection before they write up. So they're getting some aspects of the research cycle, but they're not getting everything. And as Richard mentioned, we have these graduate attributes, the five graduate attributes. We also have the strategy for enhancing the student experience. SESI. And in it, it says we want a research-informed curriculum to enable learners to benefit from collaboration in a research community. How do we develop this community if we just have one-to-ones with students who then go off at the end of their dissertation process? So we need to develop research communities and students to become producers of knowledge. Well, what's the point of producing knowledge for it to be marked and then you go away and forget about it? Okay. Baxter McGolder has said that self-authorship should become the central goal of higher education in the 21st century. We have students doing Facebook and things like this. So they're already kind of authors to some extent, but it's not in a scholarly way. So it's about transforming what students are doing anyway in terms of, you know, writing on blogs and all this kind of thing and making that more scholarly, making it more a professional experience for students. And again, from the SESI, it says learners will have the opportunity to engage in formal and informal learning environments which support their autonomy and flexibility in managing their personal learning, their ability to engage actively and creatively in learning, research, and professional communities within and beyond the institution. So it neatly fits with things like journal projects and conference projects because students suddenly become part of the academic community. As they're getting further feedback on their work. So I thought maybe publication, and I'm talking about in its broadest sense, could help to complete the research cycle. So what counts as publication? Well, if you want to read, we have a Brooks e-learning journal, Brooks e-journal of learning and teaching. And there's an article in there that describes this in more detail that I've contributed to. It goes with all the work in America that's going on in their research universities at the moment from the Boyer Commission that's saying basically don't just stop when students have engaged in research. Dissemination of results is a part of the research process. So the America's universities now are going crazy for undergraduate research conferences and they are developing journals. Some of the journals that have been developed in the UK as a result of sort of trying to copy some of these ideas have been really multidisciplinary. So it doesn't matter what the subject is. They've just been kind of almost institutional flagships. The work that I've done, the reason it's different is that I've tried to keep a disciplinary focus to it. And that's enabled me to go beyond my institution in linking to the same discipline in other areas. And so that's why I think it's maybe got more potential as an OER. So in the US, there are loads of e-journals. In the UK, we have Bioscience Horizons. This is probably the first one. It came out of the biosciences subject area, and it's produced in Oxford by Blackwells as a journal that you can actually buy. The others are just online journals. For instance, the Plymouth Student Scientist and Diffusion, that's at University of Central Lancashire. Those are multidisciplinary journals. Reinvention is the Reinvention Centre journal, again, multidisciplinary. And then these two that I've been developing. And that's the URL if you wanted to have a look at Geoverse, which is this pilot national journal. The pedagogic model, though, that makes these two different is worth explaining from the point of view of this OER process. So Geoversity, this is the departmental journal. It's a showcase of research work, as I describe it, warts and all. So it doesn't have to be national standard. It's what we're doing. And it's just showcasing that to other students. It gives them a model of, okay, this is the kind of work that Brooks is doing. It's quite useful for marketing. It's got light touch refereeing. It has an undergraduate student editor, so students are involved in the learning process, in the gatekeeping of what's suitable for dissemination. Students are also involved in the review process, but they are postgraduate students who review undergraduate work. So it's kind of like a teaching tool, really. It's a pedagogic model that benefits Brooks Geography students. It's very inclusive and supportive. In contrast, Geoverse is a national journal. It's piloted at 4 universities at the moment, but I'm hoping to make this much bigger. Again, it's just for geography, but it's about top quality. And then you can start to see that actually these two can be linked. So a student from Brooks can publish or write their work up, submit it to either of these, and it could be moved depending on which is the most appropriate forum. It's got really rigorous refereeing. We've got 8 academic staff editors, 16 postgraduate reviewers. They've gone through a training process. It's highly selective, but again, it's supportive, more than just a regular journal would be. And of course, our students also publish in standard academic journals as well, often with academic staff. Okay, so what sort of impact does this have on the student experience, that student learning experience? Students have reported a sense of achievement because it's an actual publication. They get a sense of pride. They've reported how their understanding has come together. They like the creative process, the sense of ownership that it was their own research that was being disseminated. But from a geography lecturer's point of view, the key thing I'm interested is they've suddenly changed their approach to sources. They've started seeing, I want to use really good websites. I want to use really good journals because I'm now comparing my data with published data. So they've begun to kind of appreciate that their approach to sources has changed. Okay, so it's allowed all these things to happen. And York's talked about authenticity. By having an authentic assessment, it's kind of professionalised students' attitude to their work. It's not just an essay. It's a journal article that has the potential to be published, even if it isn't published. It's that potential that creates authenticity for students. Okay, so I've done various bits of data collection and coding and analysis and so on, and these are key themes in the boxes. So the key themes that students get when they just write for the journal in a journal article format are these 6 here. If students then go on to get their work actually published, these are the things they're getting. So critical evaluation, applying constructive criticism, and a sense of achievement are things that are shared if you're writing and getting published. But the things that are new if you get your work published are this sense of academic recognition. Suddenly people start to see themselves as researchers, and this is what the whole students as producers is aiming at. Of course, they get great CV material, they come out with the top jobs, they get the funded PhD places, so there's a lot of kind of capital that they get from that. But this desire for further communication and dialogue about their research shows that students aren't just seeing their research as a product anymore. It's not about the paper. It's a process that they want to continue engaging in, and that creates a motivation to publish even more. So there's just a few quotes to kind of demonstrate that, but that's pretty much what I've said. They get a critical evaluation of any piece of work, both their own and other people. So they kind of get it now. This is what we're aiming to with university. And also this desire to talk through feedback rather than relying on technology, a desire to clarify feedback, face-to-face communication. That's what students want once they've published. Highlight that one. In terms of the way that students relate to the journals, what they're particularly valuing is that this is to do with the authenticity idea, that the feedback that they're getting, because in our student satisfaction surveys, feedback always comes up as kind of a weak point. That's not just we, as in Brooks, this is nationally. It's a weak area. Actually, once students realise that the job of the reviewer of their article was to provide suggestions to improve the article and not just to point out all the good things, they've got a different attitude to feedback now. So I think it's changed that students want dialogic feedback, really. They want a conversation about their work. So we were talking earlier over coffee, some colleagues from Brooks, about students not picking up their feedback. This has really moved students on, that now they're dying to talk about their feedback. So, yeah. We've also got to consider, though, what postgraduate students are getting out of this, because they've become reviewers of articles. So they're getting a huge amount of practice of reviewing other people's articles, but it's giving them skills to think about their own articles as well. And they've said that it's much more satisfying than marking essays because you can actually provide more feedback, that it's useful feedback, you can be really constructive. So they're treating it also as a working document. So there's a sort of genuine dialogue going on. But also, the postgraduates have said that they'd like feedback on the reviews that they've presented. So there's this, everyone wants to talk about feedback. But I was wondering if maybe there's some kind of open educational resource potential in that idea of postgraduates giving feedback on an article. So you could have an article at different stages and you could show how the feedback modified the article. So you could, you could create a resource around that, how an article went from an original submission to something that is a finished product that you can then actually see, it's real, it's on the website and published. But you could see all the stages it went through. So as a model for how to do a review, just an example. So the ripple effect then at Brooks has been curriculum development. So some of the things Richard's talked about our redesign, we've redesigned our geography program already around this model of trying to support students in research. And because we had the journal, we've been able to get students to write for the journal as a module. So as a module assessment, they've actually had to write a journal article instead of submitting an essay or a poster or something. Although, because it's an e-journal, we can actually publish posters as well, so it doesn't preclude that. But we've had curriculum developments have been kind of sparked at our partner universities as well, so it's had staff impacts outside just Brooks. So they've also, for instance, at Gloucestershire, they've developed a collaborative writing project, so students write a journal article as a team. So that's just another example of curriculum developments there. And great thing that's happened, although you at Oxford might not like this, is that in the new university sector, we're quite anti-exams, you see. So at Reading, they've taken an exam out and they've replaced it with a journal article. So to me, that's progress. I've published and gone to conferences and stuff, so the ripple effect in terms of, you know, spreading the word about this. And we've also written it up as an online case study, and Gloucestershire have got that in their active learning kettle. Okay, that's the journals. Undergraduate research conferences. Am I okay? An undergraduate research conference, to me, is a glorified poster session. It's informal. It's dialogic. Students stand with their posters built around the research that they've done, and they will talk and answer questions from whoever turns up. So this is genuinely public. Anyone could turn up, any discipline, any kind of level. And so we have students for 2 hours talking about the research that they've done and answering questions. So their experience of producing a poster has given us these kind of findings. You know, how do you do something eye-catching with a powerful message and still maintaining academic rigour and all those kinds of ideas. But the actual experience of presenting at the conference has given us these kind of themes. It's a massive confidence boost for students. And interestingly, once they've had a successful conference presentation, they're much more likely to write for the journal. So the two, again, feed into each other. And it's positive instant feedback. But students have said, staff in the department recognise me as a researcher. As a result, and he goes on to say what it's done for him, the skills he's got a job out of it and so on. And this kind of being treated in equal terms to other academic staff through the conference format, because they've produced something original. They know more about it than anybody else. So it's given students a huge amount of confidence. So I think that students do require these structured experiences to scaffold their learning, because confidence is crucial for them so that they'll publish their work. It's led to curriculum developments in our own programme, the redesign of the research pathway within geography, and in the wider university, we now have a commitment to redesigning research pathways in all our programmes. So this is a huge commitment from Brooks. I just happened to get there first in my own weird way, but this is what the university is now committing to. We've got plans for Radar to have a section which will be the first dedicated digital repository for undergraduate research. And we've also got a model now of undergraduate research conferences. So I mentioned we've got we had a departmental conference on Monday this week. We had our first faculty conference, and then I'm also going to this British conference on undergraduate research. So I think this is going to be a model for the future, really. So now it's you. If these aren't the right questions, this is my first time to sort of be integrated in Ripple. So if these aren't the right questions, but you want to reframe the questions to make it more useful to Ripple, then just say, because this is negotiable. And we've got 10 minutes. So thank you very much. Thank you.